prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution. Welcome to Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet. At least that's what it says right here at the top of the page.
Yo, this is because it's true. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm glad you read that today. It's actually really important.
It is.
And I am Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. You can just call me Jeff or Hey You or Ugly, whatever. Answer all of those.
Right.
Dave answers only to Dave, though.
That's right.
Don't forget. Mind yourself. But this is Truth Revolution. Today we're talking about naturalism versus spirituality.
Wow, there is a huge difference.
Yep. Is there actual stuff that is not material, not physical? And what does that mean for when we go to study science?
So what you're saying is there actual stuff that's not really stuff.
Stuff that doesn't have weight.
Right.
Stuff that doesn't have visual confirmation.
Right.
Stuff that exists that you cannot put your finger on and mix it in a mixing bowl into granola bars.
We believe there is.
We believe there is. We're also going to answer a Bible contradiction. Mm-hmm. We have a listener question. And we have a book recommendation. We got a busy show today, so...
And if we don't get to all those, well, then you need to write in and say, hey, you guys need to do an hour show.
Dun, dun, dun. If you want us to do an hour show, or if you want us to keep doing a half hour show, we actually would love your support. This Truth Revolution show, we've been growing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're up around 13 channels now.
Right.
Funny thing, though, Dave, we're on a lot more channels, but we're not getting a lot more donations.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask people to step up. And if you find this podcast, this show interesting, if it's been helpful to you in any way, you know, the scripture says that if we've been helpful to you in a spiritual way, can you help us in a material way?
Right.
And so we're going to ask the same question.
And let's make it clear, Jeff and I don't take any money for this ourselves. This all goes into broadcasting the show. So
yeah, it goes back into the show. Sometimes part of it goes back into church, making stuff happen at the church.
Right.
But really, most of this money now at this point is going to go back into the show. We're actually looking at maybe we need to go off a channel to save some money. Most of those channels have put us on for free, but you know, we just, there's costs to running a regular show. So if you would be so willing to bless us with a gift, we would really appreciate that.
Amen.
And it would make sure the show, the podcast, keeps going. Now to naturalism. Cardiologist Michael Sabam has researched NDEs, and he has said this.
NDEs are actually near-death experiences.
I assumed everybody knew. It meant nasty disease.
All right, stop right there. Michael Sabam says, when I began my research over 25 years ago, I believed reports of the NDE to be absurd.
Bah.
On closer examination, I found verifiable out-of-body experiences to be inexplicable from a merely physical scientific standpoint. Biblical research then suggested that these experiences may involve the spiritual dimension. Combining the scientific and biblical evidence, I now find it highly probable that the NDE is a spiritual experience during which the soul enters the shadow of death.
Now, if you want to know more about that, you got to go to our show about NDEs, about near-death experiences. You can get that on truthrevolution.tv. But what this cardiologist has said is that he doubted NDEs. He thought they were absurd, but when he studied them, this cardiologist said, you know what? Something spiritual is happening here. He came to this conclusion, but naturalism is the belief that there is no spiritual realm, or at least no realm that we can actually talk about. Now, I'm not going to talk to you today about whether or not near-death experiences are real.
Right.
Today, though, we want to ask this question. What if they were? How would a naturalist know it?
And we're not really talking about God of the Gaps type stuff.
Well, no, we're going to actually mention God of the Gaps a little bit later, but the question I'm asking is a naturalism of the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Michael Sabam is accurate and that there is such a thing as a near-death experience. If you are a naturalist and the answer to the question, what is going on, if the answer to that question is God, a spiritual thing, and you're a naturalist and you do not believe in the spiritual, you will not accept it as an answer,
right,
then you have limited yourself.
Right. Always defaulting to naturalism. And that's the same thing as Christians always defaulting to God of the Gaps.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Now, to many secular studiers, they have this one requirement. God is an unacceptable conclusion. That is their requirement. We want to avoid this line of thinking, okay? For example, did you ever see that Peter Jennings special, The Search for Jesus?
I did not.
Okay, well, it came out quite a while ago, and they use these people called the Jesus Seminar. These people are trying to find out who Jesus is, or who he, quote, really was.
Right.
And to them, the fact that Jesus might be God was an unacceptable conclusion. So they examined everything about Jesus, what he said, what he did, And then they took out the miracles because those were impossible.
Right.
And they removed the claims that made Jesus God because that was impossible. And then they came up with this, well, here's who Jesus really was because we subtracted the miracles, we subtracted the deity. And like, well, wait a minute. That's only not possible if you say, I completely reject anything spiritual and I won't even accept it as a possible answer, even if there's evidence for it.
Right. And Jesus himself, I mean, there's evidence that Jesus called himself the Christ.
Exactly. You
know? And they just totally threw that out.
They take the evidence, they throw it out.
It's crazy.
Now, is this scientific? Is it logical?
I would say no to both.
Well, thank you. No, they start with the conclusion already in place, right? God is an unacceptable conclusion. Whatever the answer is, it cannot be God. Whoever Jesus is, he cannot be God.
Right.
I mean, imagine if I was doing an experiment on water and I wanted to know what happened to it when it heated up. And I said, I've already got a conclusion. I'm not going to accept any conclusion that says it goes into the air because I think that's just mythology.
Right.
Okay. So
how would that happen anyway?
When water, yeah, exactly. I mean, like it goes into the air, it just disappears like magic. Mm-hmm. No, we do not believe in magic. So any conclusion that says water dissipates into the air is going to be rejected. Now, we have to find out the truth. Well, you see, I've already rejected what's really going on. I'm not saying with the spiritual things, like the answer is always God. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But this example shows us, what if the answer was God?
Right. And in order to find truth, you have to have an open mind.
Exactly. We must allow for any conclusion. Now, this is what, let's just, okay, let's make this really clear, okay? We're only saying you have to allow for any conclusion, even if the answer is God.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to insert God into, why does gravity work? God. Why is the moon God? Why God?
Right. Like, yeah, we don't want to be like that.
No, we don't want to do that. That's God of the gaps. We don't want to do that. But there's two different types of naturalism. The first one is a materialist. Will you read this definition?
Is that the metaphysical naturalism? The
metaphysical naturalism.
In this, there are materialists and pantheists. And I guess we will focus on the materialist. They believe that everything reduces to natural material. There are no miracles, no supernatural causes in the world. Sometimes they say that miracles are impossible or irrational.
Okay, so what is the problem with this? Well, the problem is it would be impossible to come to the conclusion that God exists no matter what the proof.
Right.
God could stand in front of a metaphysical naturalist and say, I am God. You are looking at me right now. You're hearing my voice. I'll do any miracle you ask me to right now. And they would say, I must have ate some mushrooms or something. Right. Like they would have
had some bad food last night.
Right. I mean, they would come up with a naturalistic explanation for anything, no matter what. Norman Geisler actually was quoting C.S. Lewis, who was quoting a guy named Haldane. And this is a quote. He says, if my mental processes, now this is really cool. You got to check this out because it shows the problem with metaphysical naturalism. If my mental processes are determined wholly by the motion of atoms in my brain, I have no reason to suppose that my beliefs are true. And hence, I have no reason for supposing my brain to be composed of atoms. If naturalism is claiming to be true, then there must be more than mere natural processes. There must be reason, which is not purely a natural process.
Right. So basically what he's saying is, in that line of thinking, we just totally devolve in our intelligence.
Well, exactly. So if your thoughts are nothing more than atoms moving around in your brain,
right.
Well, a thought actually isn't physical. You have a thought and there's something to that you cannot touch. So if you should only believe in that which you can touch, then only believe in the atoms. But wait, you don't even have a reason to believe in those atoms because you had a thought about those atoms. You have brain beliefs telling you about these atoms, right. But maybe those brain beliefs aren't even real or rational.
Right.
So you don't believe in atoms. Don't believe in your brain.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, if all your thoughts actually were atoms, after a while, you would start to get a big hit.
Exactly. You know, so. Now, okay, we're going to come back to this and talk a little bit about methodological naturalism, which is a different type of naturalism. But first, we're going to answer a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Bible contradiction today. What were the centurion's words at the cross?
What's up?
Yeah.
He was like, what's up?
He didn't say what's up. Listen, Jeff. Matthew 27:54 says, when the centurion and those with him regarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. However, Luke 23:47 says the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
What did he say?
Was he the son of God or was he just a righteous man?
And what did the centurion say?
Surely this man was a righteous man.
Yeah, that's the problem. What did he realize? Did he say, surely this was the son of God? Or did he say, surely this was a righteous man? Which one was it? We want,
I don't know. We want proof.
Let's go with our cracked acronym. C-R-A-C-K-E-D.
Just like a time machine.
And the...
What? It is.
What?
It is. It can tell us about the past.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I like it. Thanks. All right. So the second C stands for credibility. Credibility means you got to read it more closely, right? The writers of the Bible were not idiots.
Right.
Neither was pretty much any author of any book. Well, maybe nowadays. Anybody can publish a book. Mm-hmm. So maybe idiots write books nowadays.
I did last week.
Generally speaking, in the past, people who wrote books weren't idiots. And so if they write something that seems confusing or contradictory, look at it more closely. Read it more closely. Study it. And when we study Matthew 27, we find out it was not even the centurion that was talking. It says, when the centurion and those with him saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the son of God.
Right.
So they said he was the son of God. That was the group concept. Now, Luke 23 says the centurion praised God and said, surely he was a righteous man. And so there you have the answer. The crowd, maybe including the centurion as they were talking and going on, came to the conclusion that Jesus was the Son of God. But the centurion definitely, as reported by the historian Luke, said that Jesus was a righteous man. And so those are the two actually different quotes. So this is really a big deal. Like when you're studying the Bible or any book, you have to read it more closely. You can't just jerk something around and go, hey, this looks like a contradiction.
Yeah, this context serves my purposes.
That's right. And even if you're not looking at contradictions, right, this cracked acronym is a method to study the Bible appropriately. When we study our Bibles, don't just take a sentence and go, wow, that just sounds neat.
Right.
Like, figure out what it actually means. And that's the answer for our contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Right on. Thank you, Jeff, for that nice explanation.
Thank you, Dave, for reading that great Bible verse. That was from the Thinking Atheist. I like the Thinking Atheist.
Yeah, well, they think.
But do they think? Do they actually have atoms that cause their thinking? And if they did, would they know it?
Oh, I see. We're getting back into naturalism now.
Naturalism. You like that smooth transition? Mm-hmm. I'm a smooth operator.
That's called a segue in the radio business.
A segue. Mm-hmm. Speaking of segues, if you'd like to donate to Revolution Church, you can get on your segue and come down here. To give to the radio station. Well, that was a bad segue.
You're killing me.
But the radio show, we do need your help. We do need some donations to make it in 2015.
Yeah, you don't even have to come down here. All you got to do is get on the website.
TruthRevolution.TV.
That's the one.
TruthRevolution.TV. So, Truth Revolution, here we go. Methodological naturalism. Okay, the first type of naturalism was they only believe in physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What about you people who believe in the spiritual,
right,
but you want to be a scientist anyway? That's right. What this is about.
Methodological naturalism is the type of naturalism allows that God and miracles might exist,
woo!
But we have to deny their existence and studying.
Aww.
They argue that if we don't, we might run into God of the gaps theory.
Again, of course, God of the gaps theory is where you place God into any situation that currently doesn't have a scientific explanation. So how do microwaves work? I don't know. God must do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's God of the gaps.
There was sincerely a lot of God of the gaps type stuff back in the ancient times.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we had all these different gods popping up. But we now know that, you know, that's not necessarily always the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to point out, we're gonna talk about the problem with methodological naturalism, the problem with denying God in your studying, even though you believe he might exist. We're going to talk about why that's not a rational idea on the other side of this break. But I would like to point out that God of the gaps really hasn't happened all that much. In fact, we had a guy on the show, a scientist, who taught us and showed us how wherever Christianity was, science has grown.
Aha!
Christianity caused the growth of science, did not inhibit the growth of science. And even the so-called Dark Ages, that was not like a lack of science because of Christianity. In fact, there was growth of science during the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
You can't name more than one or two scientists who were ever even persecuted by the church. Try to do it. Everyone's like, oh, well, that's easy.
Right.
Galileo. Okay, we'll name one more. Copernicus? Okay. Nope, sorry.
Galileo.
Anyway, TruthRevolution.tv, we're going to be right back after this break. Naturalism. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
This is our 300th Truth Shot.
Hi, if you have ever benefited from something Truth Revolution has offered, I'd like you to consider this verse.
1 Corinthians 9:11 says, "If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you?"
In other words, we make this show and website for free of charge so that you and many others like you can grow spiritually.
If you would consider a donation, it would help keep Truth Revolution on air, online, and broadcasting.
We know the first time is the most difficult.
Yeah, you're nervous.
Try a buck. If it doesn't hurt, think about it again later.
Right on the website, you can donate with PayPal or a credit card.
But that's all for now. We just want to thank you for listening, sharing news about Truth Revolution, and even giving.
We pray and let God work. If we ever don't have the money or aren't helping people, we'll close shop. But as long as there is good stuff getting accomplished, we'll work.
TruthRevolution.tv.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Naturalism.
Naturalism!
What is up with naturalism, man?
I'll tell you what's up with naturalism. They like stuff.
And they don't like stuff that isn't actually stuff.
They only like stuff.
Right.
So I'll tell you what's up with that. Okay, we looked at a naturalism called metaphysical naturalism, which is basically the belief that there's only nature. There's only stuff that you can touch, feel, taste, smell. Right. And we showed why that was illogical to not only believe in, but to be that way in your science and in your studies. Now there's this methodological naturalism, which says, well, look, God exists. That's fine. But we can't allow God to be an answer. Right. Okay, we can't allow God to be an answer when we're studying. Otherwise, we're just going to end up with God of the gaps. People are going to say every time they don't understand something, well, it must be God. Let's stop studying this. But that's not true. Okay, we should note that if God and miracles do exist, then we may be missing the point by denying a priori an entire category of answers.
Right. Because, I mean, that, if you want to just go ahead and cut out like half of the answers that you could possibly get, is that really science?
Right.
I mean, really?
Yeah, we've got natural and we've got supernatural. Let's just go ahead and cut out 50% of the possible answers.
Right. To me, that's really inhibiting intelligence.
Yeah, it is. And now I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I think most of the time, if you're just doing science, the answer is going to be a natural answer.
Amen, right.
Okay, God invented stuff. He invented the natural world. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite analogies, I bring it up all the time, Jesus was going to see Lazarus. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the dude asked directions. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" He wanted to know. Why? Because Jesus, God, does things the natural way most of the time. Whenever there's a possibility of doing something naturally, he does it.
Right.
He steps in supernaturally when it has to be done supernaturally.
Right. And he created all these processes by which we live. Why wouldn't he just use them himself as well?
Exactly.
Exactly.
But we're not denying miracles, though. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. We're not saying God can never be an answer. We're not going to say that.
No.
Not at all. David Hume, he said miracles are a violation of the laws of nature. This is his argument against miracles, and it might be summarized as follows. Number one.
A miracle, by definition, is a violation of or exception to a law of nature.
Number two.
But the laws of nature are built upon the highest degree of probability.
Number three.
Hence, a miracle, by definition, as an exception, is based on the lowest degree of probability.
Numero cuatro.
Now, the wise man should always base his belief on the highest degree of probability.
Number five.
Therefore, the wise man should never believe in miracles.
Okay, now.
That was the leap.
I agree. That was the leap. Number one, okay, we'd probably agree, right? Miracles are like a violation of nature. Mm-hmm. In some sense, we wouldn't agree with exactly that definition, but right. We'll go with it. That's fine. Premise two and three, we agree with, right? The laws of nature are built upon the high degree of possibility. Right. Miracles, by definition, are based on the lowest degree of probability. I would probably agree with that. Number four, he said the wise man should always base his belief on the highest degree of probability.
Yeah.
This is where I have a problem.
Right. That's kind of crazy. And I, you know, kind of like, number one, we can say that a miracle is by definition a violation or exception of a law of nature as we know them today.
Yes.
So we can cut that
as we
out,
know them today. Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
But number four is that's another one of those things where we're cutting out 75% of what the conclusion might actually be.
Right. We don't always base our beliefs on the highest degree of probability.
Right.
Let's say that we did base our beliefs on the highest degree of probability. According to evolution, the statistical probability of life existing is nil. It's like a trillion, trillion, trillion to one.
So what you're saying, he's saying is,
don't believe in your own existence.
Right.
Because it's not probable. That does not help you be wise.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes you believe in things that don't have a high degree of probability. Now, there are also things that happen that did not happen according to a high degree of probability. Okay. We believe Jesus rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You are actually born as in America. That's not probable. More people are born outside of America.
Right.
So if I were to tell you,
I have a higher degree of being born in China.
What's that?
I would have a higher degree or a higher chance.
Likelihood. Oh, yeah,
of
that's
being
right.
Born in China.
Exactly. So if you told me that you were born in America, maybe I should say.
That's not true.
Not true, dude. I don't right. believe that. Because Hume said a wise man always bases his belief on the highest degree of probability.
Mm.
And the highest degree of probability says that you are not an American. Now, of course, I'm sitting in America, but you get the point, right? Most people weren't born here. This is the problem. And then, as Dave said, going from four to five, jumping from basing your beliefs on degree of probabilities to, therefore, the wise man should never believe in miracles. Well, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Just because something doesn't often happen doesn't mean you never believe in it.
Right. See, the whole premise starts going downhill, and they're at number five.
Yeah.
It just totally drops off the ledge.
I mean, let's talk about the Royals. They got to the World Series this year.
Oh, wow.
And like, what's the probability of that happening?
Right?
I mean,
it didn't happen.
It did. Wait, what?
It couldn't have, according to Hume.
That's true. I should not base my belief on
silly man.
Low degrees of probability.
God of the gaps the, guy.
I don't even think the Royals exist. But you see, the problem is denying God's existence a priori,
mm-hmm.
that all Hume is doing is naturalism of the gaps.
Right.
They're inserting nature into places where God may be the answer. We should seek to find the truth about God or miracles no matter what.
Right. And if you're listening out there right now and you don't believe in God and, you know, you think, oh, these guys are just kind of being silly about their God thing. I'm here to tell you, if you want to search for the truth and you believe that there is a truth, a certain truth out there, you need to be open-minded about every possibility.
Thank you. That's all we're talking about today, mm-hmm. is being open-minded. So if you run into someone who denies the existence of spiritual things, bring this up to them. Bring up how illogical and unscientific it is to deny an entire category of possible answers. Hey, we got a book people should read.
Uh-huh.
This book's called Every Man's Battle. It is Every Man's Guide to Winning the War on Sexual Temptation, One Victory at a Time. This is a really good book. It's called Every Man's Battle for a reason, because it really is every man's battle.
Yes.
Sexual temptation is huge. So if you are a follower of Jesus and you struggle with anything from pornography to adultery to lust to anything like that, check out this book, Every Man's Temptation. You can tell it's got little stains on it and whatnot. I mean, I've read this book more than once. It's, right. It's really good stuff.
You had it for a while, have you?
I've had it for a while. I don't know exactly how long, but yeah, it's pretty good. So you check out Every Man's Battle. Good book. You know what we're going to do right now, Dave?
I got a question. I knew it was coming.
You knew? How'd you know?
I just know you do.
Are you a psychic?
All right. Hey, if you have a question, you go ahead and send us questions at truthrevolution.tv.
Questions at truthrevolution.tv.
Didn't that what I said?
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah, you said it.
Any tips for serving God in the busyness of life with a bunch of young, small energy sucking kids? How do you do it?
So when you got little kids,
yeah.
How do you still serve God?
Right, and the thing is Jeff, you're a good one to ask because you got five little ones just running around.
Yeah, I got five little ones. I've had like 40 some foster kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really know the answer to this question.
Great.
No, I've got...
And I have no kids, so I've got the answers for you.
I've got like five tips, things that help me. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I know it does help when I do this. First, I want to say read books on parenting. Now, I'm serious. I might just be like, right. Well, that just takes more time.
Yeah.
But I'm serious. It really helps with the energy. Like when I'm frustrated, when I want to beat my kids, I actually will go to... Karen Purvis, she's got some, Dr. Karen Purvis, she helps with traumatized children, kids in foster care. I go watch some of those videos and I learn more about the children and I learn even other books about kids and I learn like, wow, you know what? This is like deep in my understanding of who they are. I can do this and I feel better about life. You know what? Give them an appropriate bedtime. If it's not for them, it's for you.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're letting your kids stay up till, if he's a young kid and you're letting him stay up until 10 o'clock, I mean, that's not only bad for the kid, that's bad for you. When do you get alone time?
Right.
I have to, I hate bedtime. It takes a long time to get five kids who are rowdy down. It really does. But once they're down, I at least get an hour or hour and a half or 2 hours of alone time with my wife. So that's nice. You know, I'd say, the same way we serve others is a way to do this. We serve others with love, not out of obligation. We got to be parenting out of love. That helps with feeling less stressed and less busy. When you're parenting out of obligation and anger and frustration because you just want to get it done, you're going to have a bad day.
Yeah, resentment sets in. And being resentful against a child, come on.
Exactly. You got a parent out of love. Fourth, when you can, bring them with you as you serve in the church. It teaches them about serving Jesus. I mean, it shows them, look, this is what our family does. We serve God. It shows them that their life doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Jesus and it belongs to the people around them.
Right. And it says in Proverbs that when you teach a child the way he should go when he's young, when he gets older, he will not depart from it.
Exactly. And so you're training him in the way. And also, you know, it's good for you because then you're not just like, I got to find a babysitter. I got to work at church. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, bring him to church with you. I know very few pastors in churches that would be like, you came to serve, but you brought your kids. Well, you couldn't have done that. That was bad. No, like people come in to serve our church all the time and they bring their kids and I'm like, sweet, someone to play race car with.
Right.
And the other one I would say is you find a church you can go to on Sunday morning. It has a good kids program. So you can sit in the church and learn without a kid on your lap.
Amen.
And get a growth group. If you're going to Revolution Church, a growth group is a home Bible study that people do. You need to get into that growth group so that you can sit with other adults and talk about spiritual things without being interrupted by a kid.
Right.
So those are five things I really suggest that helps you from being burnt out and having your energy completely sucked dry by kids. Okay. We are at the end of our show. 60 seconds left, Dave.
So what do we got?
We got naturalism of the gaps is not something that's good philosophically or logically.
Same way as God of the gaps, not good.
When you come up to a question and the answer, and you don't know the answer, right? How did this happen? If you say, well, it must have been God, it can't be any other answer, then you've done wrong.
Right.
If you come to that question and you say, how did this happen? And you say, well, it could be anything except God, you've also done wrong.
Right. Amen.
Right. We just want to say, we don't know. We're going to investigate until we know.
Right.
And that's what we want to do. We want to find the truth, whether the truth is Jesus or the truth is microwaves.
Right. Amen.
Because Jesus is the truth. We believe that. He's the Lord of life. He rose from the dead. He claimed to be God. So you need to take him seriously. Come on out to Revolution Church every Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
That's right. 1111 West South.
That's right. You can go to truthrevolution.tv and get more information. If you want to go to the church's website, it's revo.church, R-E-V-O.church. Thanks for listening and consider donating and helping truth get out there.